Florida law. Ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
Welcome to the best of Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law, with attorney Joe Pippin. If you'd like to talk to someone about your legal questions, you can call Joe's office at 727-586-3306, online at attypip.com. Email joe at attypip.com.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Hey, it's open on Saturday mornings just for you to call in and ask the legal question. Hopefully you'll get some information that'll be helpful to you. And also, there are other people listening, of course. We're on about 12 stations around Florida now, all over the state of Florida. And people are listening that might have similar circumstances, not even realizing they might even have a problem or a situation they could do better with. If you have a legal question, it can be just about any area of the law. Can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, healthcare surrogates, living wills. Can be personal injury, next door neighbor problems. Can be on the job problems. If you have a question, give us a call, 800-226-3529. If you have a legal question, be more than glad to try to help you, get you pointed in the right direction. Let's go to Randy calling from Sarasota this morning.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Randy, and you?
I'm great. Listen, I have a question. I'm trying to relook at my will situation, and we basically just have a probate will.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if I should consider irrevocable trust. When do you know when you should add that to the mix? Or,
well, most people don't do an irrevocable trust. Most people do a revocable trust.
Okay.
So the difference is, if you do a revocable trust, that's just a fancy will, basically, and the same information I would ask you to create a will is the same information I would ask you to create a revocable trust. The advantage of revocable trust, of course, is you avoid probate. Anything inside the trust would avoid probate, avoid guardianship, be quick, easy, fast, efficient, and private for your heirs to wind up the estate.
Okay.
Most of my clients, and almost the size of the estate doesn't matter that much. I mean, I've had people create trust with a home and $50,000 of other things that go in the trust. You know, of course, I've had people that have millions of dollars create trust. But the minimum probate fee on a small estate that we charge is like $2,500, and it's about $700 in cost. So it's about $3,200 to probate even a small estate with a simple will.
Okay.
The fee for, are you married?
Yes.
Yeah, so we have flat fees for everything we do. So a fee for a married couple, if you did two wills, two power of attorneys, healthcare surrogates, and living wills, those six documents would be like $620. If you did a living trust, it's $795. So you only pay $175 more dollars. The benefit would be your assets in the trust do not go through probate. Quick, easy, fast, efficient. It's private. You know, so most of my clients, with a little bit of extra money, just go ahead and do a trust to get those super advantages in estate planning.
Okay. So really it's just an extra layer of convenience.
Yeah, for the family. Now, it's the benefit to you is you have a plan in place. If you have a stroke or an accident, you have a plan in place where somebody manages your trust assets for your benefit while you're living, no guardianship court, and the advantage for your heirs is they can do that quickly and avoid the probate cost.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
All right, Randy, I'm going to, since you were a good first caller here, I'm going to give out how I have a large poster sheet that explains this in much greater detail than I just did. And anybody interested in estate planning should ask for this. It's free. I'd be glad to mail it to them. So I'm going to thank you for your call.
Thank you.
All right. So if you'd like that free estate planning poster sheet, now it's a large poster size sheet, double-sided. On one side of the sheet has five articles, mainly about estate planning, the three options in estate planning. It has articles about the cost of probate, has a diagram on how trust works, very good information for you, just general information about all the things you should think about and your options and the pluses and minuses and consequences of the options. If you would like to have that, and on the other side of the sheet has our 20 office locations around Florida, information about the radio shows, names of all of our attorneys, local phone numbers in our locations, If you would like this, you can call our toll-free office number and just give us your name and address. You can even do that today if you want to leave a message. So the number is 1-800-226-3529. Go to extension 200 and just leave your name and address, and they will be glad to mail you the poster sheet. If you'd like to email me a request, you can email me your name and address. Just say, I want the estate planning poster sheet to Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. You could text me the information. I need your name and address at 727-667-3967. I'll give that out a couple more times during the show, but let's go to Joe calling. Hello, Joe. Where are you calling from?
Jacksonville, Florida.
Jacksonville. What can I do? Listening to WBOB.
Well, I've got a question. You know, when I turn 70 and a half, I'm going to have to withdraw from my 401k, I guess, the mandatory amount.
Right.
Could I put that into an estate for my grandchildren, for them to get later in life? Or, you know, could I just will it to them? Like, is it under $10,000 a year? I think I give them or something like that.
Well, you have to take it, and then you have to pay tax on it because you're withdrawing it. But then you could put whatever it was into a special account, or even create a separate trust for it, or just create a separate account that would go to your grandchildren.
Oh, so there's no way to avoid the tax on that. You have to handle it yourself. You can't just, you know, transfer it into another vehicle to avoid the tax on it.
No, because it's a retirement account and you're forced to withdraw it.
All right.
Now, there is a way to have the money go directly to a charity. So let's say you go to a church and you tithe and you give money every week, and you, let's just say the sum of that is $10,000 just for conversation. So you could have your retirement account go directly to a charity, and then that $10,000 that you would have given out of your other money, you know, you can accumulate that and put it in some money for your grandchildren. I mean, there's some ways that we could plan to help you do what you want to do, but the answer to your question is no, you have to take and pay an income tax on it unless you're going to donate it directly to a charity.
Okay, well, I guess that's the way they designed it.
All right, Joe. Well, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right.
You're welcome.
Bye. And we do have offices in Jacksonville. It's one of our locations. We have several offices in Pinellas. We have several offices in Hillsboro, several offices in Polk, office in Manatee, Claremont, Leesburg, the Villages, offices up and down the Palm Coast to Jacksonville in that area, and Trinity and Pasco. I have just made an arrangement to have offices in the Dunellen, Crystal River area, our use of offices. And if you would like to meet with us, we don't charge anything for first reviews of wills and trusts and other contracts. And if you would like to call us, we have a toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. Let's go to Kathleen in Sun City Center. Hey, Kathleen.
Morning. Yeah. Okay, I have a question here. You know, this year 2016, I end up to pay for the tax, you know, $11,284, because I have an annuity, and then I thought that's unqualified. So when I take out money, you know, to buy a house, you know, because I just say, okay, I have to get something good.
All right, Kathleen, you're talking about taking money out of a retirement account?
Not retirement account, but unqualified annuity. You know, I already pay tax, everything.
Uh-huh.
Right? But then the point that I just think that because if I take that money, of course I know that I have to pay tax for a portion of that.
Yes, ma'am.
Know,
yes,
not
ma'am.
The whole thing. But and then I just threw and that, so I didn't check until the end of the year, 2017 on March. exactly.
All right. Hey, Kathleen, this is going to be too much involved for me to help you on the radio. And so if you want to call my way of an office in Sun City Center, I'd be glad to talk to you. If you want to call and leave me a message, I'll call you back and talk to you off the air. I think that would probably be the better way to proceed.
Right. Yeah. Well, what's your number?
All right. The office number, just call the 800 number, 1-800-226-3529.
3529.
Yeah, be glad to talk to you, and we have a nice long conversation. I'm trying to help you.
What time are available for me to call you?
Just call in Monday and leave a message for me to call you back, and we'll do so.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yeah, thank
you. Let's go to Ed in Jacksonville.
Good morning.
Hey, Ed.
I have a situation where I had a contractor doing a home modification who backed out at the end, but never discussed it with me, never said, you know what, I paid him a little bit over, you know, we had a schedule of payments where he made the milestones, and then I paid him, and I paid him the final amount, but he walked away from the job and never said anything.
How much is it going to cost you to have the job completed?
Well, it's already cost me about $6,000.
All right. Well, you can you could take it yourself to small claims court and get up to $5,000 back, you know, if you're successful. If you want to hire an attorney to go for the whole amount, you could do that, but there'll be some fees involved. So I don't know, it might be, you know, and also if you sue him and get a judgment, you know, then the next process is to collect on the judgment to get your money.
Yeah, but also the quality of his work, I had to have, well, in fact, I haven't, he put in a door, and, you know, it wasn't square. I had to hire somebody else to come in and square it off and to, you know, do other work, and he walked away without putting in the, you know, the threshold.
Well, it sounds like maybe you should, you know, small claims court is easy to do, but your case might be a little complicated to try to get all the money back and prove your damages.
Yeah, and then the vent fans, we bought some pretty good vent fans for the, you know, for the bathrooms.
Right.
And, I mean, you can turn the shower on, you get a, you know, cloud of steam in there, and nothing takes anything away. It just fogs the mirrors, you know?
Yeah.
So, I'm not sure what he did there.
Well, if you want to call me, I'll try to help you find an attorney there in Jacksonville. We have offices there, but that's not exactly what we do. But I should be able to find you an attorney there to help you.
Yeah, the reason for my call is I wanted to know which way to go, whether small claims. And so now I gave the whole account to a bookkeeper to go through, because each item that he, you know, worked on was attached to some piece of equipment that he purchased with the monies that I gave him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, you know, there's a lot of things he left out. The light in the showers.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
That were supposed to be of a particular type, and he never put him in. And
yeah, I think, to me, small claims court would be usually a first choice, but your case sounds like there's a lot to it with a lot of proof of things going on, so you might have to have an attorney. You could, we'll try to find your attorney if you want to call me and maybe have a sit down with them and discuss what his fees would be, his or her fees, and then you decide what to do from there.
Okay, hey, you know, I called you on my cell phone. Perhaps you could text me your number. Because I'm driving the car right now.
Okay. Can we capture his number? Okay. I got your number. We'll send you a text.
All right. Great.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you for your time.
All right. Let's go to Ed in St. Petersburg.
Hello. How you doing?
Good. And you?
Good. I just got a quick question. I had my passed away, and my stepmother never even notified me.
No. Sorry. I'm sorry. Who passed away? You cut out just briefly there.
My father passed away.
Father passed away, okay.
Yes, and my stepmother never informed me that he had until I invited him to Thanksgiving dinner 9 months later, and then she wrote my son a letter and let him know that he had passed.
Mm-hmm.
The will specifically stated things that I was supposed to have gotten and my son was supposed to have gotten. Actually, half the house is supposed to be mine. I just wondering what kind of legal leg I had to stand on. And
where's the home located?
Dunellen.
Okay.
Well, I'm actually in Tampa, St. Peter.
All right, Ed, but here's what I suggest you do. Have an attorney. If you don't have one, we'd be glad to help.
Mm-hmm.
You say you called me or call whoever. I'm going to ask you your father's name and the address of the property.
Right.
And then I'm going to have my staff look on the county records to see how the property is titled.
Mm-hmm.
If the property is titled in your father's name and in his wife's name with right of survivorship, you know, mm-hmm. there's nothing to do. I wouldn't charge you for the charge, but I would tell you it all belongs to her and she can do whatever she wants to with it, regardless of the will.
Mm-hmm.
If it was just in your father's name, she has a spousal right to live in it for life.
Mm-hmm.
Or she could even have a spousal right to sell it and take half the proceeds, regardless of what the will says.
Mm-hmm.
If there was a premarital agreement that they signed and he left and she waived her spousal right to the house and the will leaves everything to you and your sibling, then that's, you know, there's several, three or four ways this thing can roll. But the first thing to do is to check the county records to see how the property's titled.
I got you. Actually, I've got a copy of the will.
The will, right at the moment is not the most important document, though. It's how the property is titled.
I see. Okay. Well, I'll give you a call.
Yeah, give me a call. I'd be glad to help you with that. We could find out very quickly how the property is titled, and we could go from there.
Good deal. Thank you so much for your time.
All right. Thank you. Let's go to Willie in Middleburg. Hey, Willie.
Hello. How you doing?
Good. I drive by Middleburg all the time when I come to Jacksonville. Of course, we have offices in Jacksonville, and we come up from Tampa, and we go up to Gainesville and cut across the state. So I see the sign. So I know exactly where Middleburg is. I'm sure most people don't, but I do. So, and also there's a Middleburg, Virginia that we go to. So,
oh yeah, okay.
I always tease my wife because she loves Middleburg, Virginia. I said, hey, you want to go to Middleburg today? So. All right, what can I do for you, Willie?
We got a question about how's my mom put me on the. Okay, I'm. My mom died about 3 months ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
very sorry.
I was on the loss. I was on the. Yeah, thank you. I was on the. And she put me on the deed, the warranty deed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
Well, let me ask you this. That could mean several things. Were the magic words with right of survivorship on the deed? Or is it just two names, her name and your name on the deed with no magic words after your name?
Her name and my name.
Okay, with no language like with right of survivorship on the deed.
No, nothing else.
Okay. All right.
And there's six of us, right? Well, actually seven of us. Siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And she just put my name on the deed. And I was wondering, is it something to probate? Not that I, you know, want the house or nothing like that, right? But she just put my name on it.
All right. From what you've told me, you own half of the house, uh-huh. and half of the house would be in her estate, and she didn't have a will, right?
No.
So her estate would have to go through probate. Uh-huh. You own half, and the half that would be in her estate would be divided equally among her children. There's no spouse, right?
No.
Okay. So her half would have to go through probate.
Okay.
Now, here's what would happen. So somebody, how many children again?
There's seven survivors, seven of us. But my name is the only one that's on the deed.
Okay, so that just means you own half the property.
Uh-huh.
All right, among the seven of you, four people have to consent to the appointment of a personal representative.
Okay.
Who then can proceed with taking care of her half or selling the property or whatever needs to be done with the property.
Okay.
So can you get three of your siblings to agree that you should be appointed the personal representative?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I can.
Well, that's what would happen. What do you think the value of the house is?
It's about maybe $85,000.
Yeah. Well, Willie, you need a probate attorney. If you don't have one, we'd be glad to talk to you about it. But
okay.
That's basically the proceeding. Your mom didn't have a will, so the state of Florida makes a will for her. Mm-hmm. With no will, the majority of the beneficiaries have to consent to the appointment of a personal representative. So if we were helping you with this, we'd send out letters to your siblings asking for their acceptance of you being the personal representative. We get a majority of those. We follow those with a court, do a petition to the court to have you appointed as the personal representative. The personal representative can then sell the house.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, like you wanted to buy it, you could work out a deal with them to buy the other half. Half of it is automatically yours because you put your name on the deed.
Okay.
And there you go. That would be a plan. So, I mean, you would have to just work out a plan once you're appointed as to how to proceed with the house. Do you want to buy the other half from the kids, or do you want to sell it?
Well, what I want to do is just keep it.
All right. Well, then you just have to work out a deal with the other six. And the deed probably needs to be reviewed because it could. You're just telling me from memory. You don't think there are any words on the deed after your name.
No.
Yeah.
So you
could call me. Ina could call me or send me a text, and I could look up on the county records to see, get a copy of the deed and look at it to make sure that you're not the total owner now. Through right of survivorship, because sometimes you're not just looking for language you're not familiar with. You know, sometimes it could be there and you might not see it.
So what would make me a total owner, right, of survivorship?
Yeah, on the deed.
It has to be on there?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
Willie, do you have a cell phone?
Yes, I do.
I'll give you my cell phone number and you can send me a text and then I can talk to you and get the address and then look up some information for you and tell you what's what.
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right, my cell number, and I'm giving it to you and everyone else, too, because there's some free estate planning poster sheet I'll give away later, though.
727-667-667-3967. 3967.
Yeah, just okay. Say, this is Willie from the radio, and here's my phone number. I need to talk to you about my mom's estate, and I'll give you a call.
Oh, all right. I'll do that.
All right, Willie. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open here on the radio. We're on about 12 stations around Florida right now. And wherever you're listening, you have a toll-free number to give me a call. Some of you might be listening now to the country. We've had calls from all over the place from people listening to the radio show on the Internet. 800-226-3529. And let's go to Don and Brandon. Hey, Don.
Hey, Joe. Another probate thing.
All right.
Father recently died intestate. The only real property is checking account and savings account. I was the beneficiary. I've already received the funds for the checking account. There was no benefit. There was no beneficiary for the savings account. The bank says has to go through probate.
Yes, sir. There's no beneficiary. What's the size of the? What's the value of the savings account?
$250 about.
All right. How much was the funeral bill?
That hasn't been decided yet.
All right. Well, here's the deal. If the amount of the money you're seeking is less than $6,000 and the funeral bill is, you know, less than $6,000 or more than the amount of money that you're seeking, there's a simplified proceeding, and I forget exactly what this cost, but you could go down to the courthouse with a paid funeral bill, a copy of the bank account statement, and get the judge to do a probate without disposition, which means you don't have to have an attorney for this one type of probate situation. And again, if it's under $6,000, the amount of money is under $6,000, the amount of the funeral bill is more than the amount of money you're seeking, you can get reimbursed for the funeral cost in a simplified probate proceeding. There are three levels of probate. There's without disposition, which I just described. If it's over $6,000 and less than $75,000, there's another probate proceeding. Anything over $75,000 goes through formal probate. So I'm not sure it's going to be worth your while because there is a cost association without the disposition. It's not much, but you know, you got to go down to the courthouse. You got to do all this, and you're seeking, you know, less than $250 because there's some costs involved and time involved.
I'll give it a shot.
All right, Don.
Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks for calling. By the way, our toll-free office number, and by the way, if you want to get our free estate planning poster sheet, now these are the sheets we hand out at the seminars I speak at. or other speaking engagements as well. But if you would like one, it has the three options in estate planning, has an article about the difference between wills and trusts, has a little trust diagram, has all about estate planning, has a cost of probate article for you to look at all that so you understand that. And that's on one side of the big poster sheet, five articles. On the other side are all our office locations. There are 20 office locations all around Florida with local phone numbers for those offices, all of our attorneys, something, information about the radio shows and so forth. If you'd like this free estate planning poster sheet, I would love to get it in your hands. We mail it to you. You could download it on your computer, but it's a large sheet. You usually can't get it all on one page, and it's a double-sided sheet as well. We'd love to mail it to you. It's much better in your hands if we mail it to you. So you can get it one of three ways. You can get it by calling our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. You can email me a request. I need your name and address at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. Joe, J-O-E, at A-T-T-Y, those abbreviations for attorney, A-T-T-Y-P-I-P, those are P's like Paul, .com. Or you can text me your name and address, 727-667-3967. Let's go up to Nancy in Jacksonville. Hello, Nancy.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing great. What part of Jacksonville do you live in?
I live near Ponte Vedra Beach.
Oh, that's where I come up there every 2 weeks, and that's where I stay. I stay there at the lodge at Ponte Vedra.
Well, I might be calling your office here. I understand that if you have a ladybird deed on your condominium, that if your children are named as co-tenants with you, that your real estate would not be subject to their creditors if it's a homestead. Is that true?
Well, first of all, homestead's not subject to creditors anyway, if it's your homestead.
Right, but if it's a ladybird deed.
Okay, so let me make sure we're on the same page here. So a ladybird deed, you would be the owner of the house.
Right.
And you would name, upon your death, you would have like a life interest in the house, and then upon your death, the ladybird deed would direct that it goes to your kids.
Correct.
And you want to know if the creditor claims would follow if you got sued on
right.
the homestead.
Or, mm-hmm. or if during the time that I own the property with the ladybird deed, with me as the owner, I could still sell it if I want without my children's permission.
Yeah, so that's one of the advantages of a ladybird deed, yes.
What's a disadvantage of a ladybird deed?
All right, well, that's just one of the options in estate planning, of course, is a ladybird deed. Now, I generally prefer that a client do a living trust. The person would create a ladybird deed to avoid probate.
Right.
So if you have a living trust, you can avoid probate by putting the property in the trust. The advantage to the trust over the ladybird deed, in my mind, is that
yeah.
if you had a stroke or an accident or became incapacitated while you're living, the successor trustee of your trust then can deal with the property for your benefit while you're living, whereas a ladybird deed, the ownership transfer doesn't happen until death.
So I prefer
the trust, but, some clients want to do the ladybird deed. So after we discuss all this with them and their options and that's what they want to do, that's what we do for them. But I generally would be slanted toward the living trust as a better tool. And with the living trust, you can also put your financial accounts in the trust.
Right.
Your brokerage accounts and, accounts that you don't want to put your kids' names on. And the same thing goes there. If it's a paid-on-death type account, nothing happens until death. If it's a living trust, the successor trustee can access everything in the trust for your benefit while you're living.
Is the ladybird deed available on any type of real estate, like a condo or a commercial property or a single-family home?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So...
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, I look forward to maybe seeing you up in Ponte Vedra sometime. So.
Okay, yes, I will call your office.
All right, thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
By the way, our toll-free office number, and by the way, if you want to get our free estate planning poster sheet, now these are the sheets we hand out at the seminars I speak at or other speaking engagements as well, but if you would like one, it has the three options in estate planning, has an article about the difference between wills and trust, has a little trust diagram, has all about estate planning, has a cost of probate article for you to look at all that so you understand that. If you, and that's on one side of the big poster sheet, five articles. On the other side are all our office locations, our 20 office locations all around Florida, with the local phone numbers for those offices, all of our attorneys, something, information about the radio shows and so forth. So if you'd like this free estate planning poster sheet, I would love to get it in your hands. We mail it to you. You could download it on my your computer, but it's a large sheet. You usually can't get it all on one page, and it's a double-sided sheet as well. We'd love to mail it to you. It's much much better in your hands if we mail it to you. So you can get it one of three ways. You can get it by calling our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. You can email me a request. I need your name and address at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. Joe, J-O-E, at A-T-T-Y, those abbreviations for attorney, A-T-T-Y-P-I-P, those are P's like Paul, .com. Or you can text me your name and address, 727-667-3967. Let's go to Jay in Bradenton. Hey, Jay.
Hey, good morning. Got a question about beneficiaries on life insurance.
All right.
I caught the tail end of you and Jim this morning and unfortunately didn't pay a lot of attention because I was getting ready for work. I think I heard you say something about after divorce, beneficiary information may either be null and void or have to be redone. Can you clarify?
Well, both. I would definitely, if it's left to a spouse and now you're divorced, under a fairly new statute, that becomes null and void to the spouse.
Okay.
But having said that, then you might not have a beneficiary, so you don't want the policy to go through a probate procedure, so you just name a new beneficiary after the divorce.
Okay, because what I'm thinking of is there's going to be some kind of a policy that needs to be placed in, you know, 100 grand or whatever to assure future spousal support is what she's asking for.
Well, if that becomes a court order and that's the policy you choose, then just leave it that is okay, and then that'd be pursuant to a... Or even after the divorce, you could just do another beneficiary form and name the spouse as a beneficiary, you know, pursuant to the divorce.
Got it. Now, if I have another policy that names a relative, that one would be okay after the divorce. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So just whenever she becomes no longer a relative, that's when I need to take care of it again.
Correct.
All right. I appreciate the information. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Let's go to Elena. Or how do you pronounce it?
Alanda.
All right.
Yes, I wanted to ask you, is it necessary for a husband and wife to have power of attorney? Like if something happens to me and my husband to be able to just take over, we both have properties that that are in our names before we got married.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, my fear is like if something happens to me or I get sick, I just want my husband to be able to take over business. And would I have to have a power of attorney or he have a power of attorney for each other? But
well, I would think my recommendation almost always is power of attorneys are necessary even between husbands and wives, and they should be updated every 3 or 4 years.
Oh, thank you. Okay. And do you know which your office? I think you guys have it on. Don't you have like the prices on?
We charge $125 for a power of attorney, and we do publish our fees on our website.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Our website, by the way, is attypip.com. Let's go to Charles in St. Petersburg.
Good morning, Joe.
Hey, Charles. How are you?
Good. The reason I'm calling, Joe, I have a trust with you, and I was seeing you in October to update because I lost my wife. My question is, I went down to the county offices yesterday in 66th Street, and when they brought it up, I was filing for the widower's benefits, and when they brought it up, it showed that my condo is not in trust. I was wondering why.
Well, your condo's in the trust, Charles. We did a quick claim deed.
Right.
That would
be
in your file. That quick claim deed hasn't been filed yet. So it's not on the public record that it's in the trust, but it is in the trust. And what normally happens is upon the time of your death, your will would be filed with the court and the deed would be filed. Since your spouse has passed away, we might look at that file again and possibly do the deed over just because it's just in your name now. And a death certificate effectively takes the name, her name off the deed.
Yeah, well, you did that. That's what I did.
Well, keep that deed that I did for you in your trust package, and your successor trustee would record that at time of death when they need to take possession of the property.
Okay, but other people have their house or condos, and it says in trust.
It's optional to record the deed at this time. It's in the trust. You can choose to make it a public record or not to make it a public record. Most of my clients choose not to make it a public record at this time.
Oh, okay. All right. That's what I wanted to know. Because I see some. It says in trust on a roster here where I live, and then that's what started me. I was wondering why mine wasn't listed as being in trust.
Right.
Okay. That's
all right.
You got it there. Thank you.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open, and we're glad to be here. Let's go to Ursula in Bradenton.
Good morning. I have a question. I have a prenuptial. My husband also had several people in the trust fund. Are they allowed to find out what my prenuptial is, or can that be private?
Well, your prenuptial is private until divorce, perhaps, and then it might have to be filed with the divorce court.
He passed away, and now what happened is that some of the people in the trust want to find out what he left me in the prenup. Now, is that something that the lawyer has to release?
Well, here's the situation. On the prenup, you might have waived your rights to part of his estate. And they want to see what rights you're waived. So let me get this all in my head correctly here. So you and your husband had a prenup. Did you have a separate trust?
No, he left me for every year that I was married a certain amount.
And he did that in the prenup or in his trust document?
In the prenup.
And what does the trust document say?
In the trust, it says there are several people in the trust, and I'm in there too, and several of the people. Now, one of the person wants to find out what did he leave me in the prenup. What is the prenup all about?
Well, the prenup is an agreement that you and your husband made of what he would do for you, it sounds like, basically.
Correct. Mm-hmm. But are they allowed to find out?
Well, they're allowed to find out what the trust says. Does the trust give you more or less than the prenup?
The trust, is separate from the prenup.
I know, but the prenup controls pretty much what you're entitled to.
I'm still in the trust, too.
Okay, but here's my question. Does the trust give you more or less than what the prenup agrees to give you?
Yeah.
More or less?
More.
The prenup gives you more, or the trust gives you more?
The trust gives me more.
Okay. Well, see, a person can have a prenup, and then a person, your husband, could decide to give you more than what the prenup would give you, and then the trust would control.
Mm-hmm. But are the people who are also in the trust allowed to find out what he left me in the prenup?
Well, I think if they force the issue, they might be able to, but if you have an attorney resisting...
Yeah.
And the attorney would basically, I think, would probably, if it were me, for example, I would say, look, the prenup controls his assets, and the prenup, the trust is more generous than the prenup, so the prenup is not relative at this time.
Okay.
So, all right?
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you for calling. Bye-bye. You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. That's me, Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. Host of Ask an Attorney for over 33 years now, longest-running continual program in Florida, we think. And if you have a legal question, we come in every week and try to help as many people as we possibly can. And let's go to Nancy in Sarasota.
Good morning.
Hey, Nancy.
My question is, my husband passed away, and I was not able to receive any of his Social Security. I received $250, I believe, which is burial quality or something. But they say because of my income level, I'm not able to receive his Social Security that he put into for 50 years. Is that the truth?
Well, normally you get the higher. What's your age?
77.
And was his Social Security more than yours?
Yes, it was, because I am a retired teacher, and I received a pension, not Social mm-hmm. Security. Very little Social Security. Very little.
Well, you should be getting the higher amount. I don't know. You might need to visit with a Social Security attorney to look into the matter. And what did that attorney say?
They just say because of our income level. And I've been to, I'm really a snowbird, and I've been to people here, and I've been to people in Ohio. And they say the same thing. My income level is too high to receive his.
Now, do you have active income?
Or? Yes, I do have.
So you're still working?
No, I'm not, but I am half owner in a business. My brother-in-law and my husband and I and my sister-in-law, all four of us, are partners in this business. So we each all get an income.
I see. Well, I don't do Social Security law. I mean, I know enough to know generally that most people get a stepped-up amount when their husband passes away and they get more.
I haven't
really studied the income levels when that doesn't happen. So if you've been to a Social Security attorney that practices in that area and that's what you're told, then I guess maybe get a second opinion if you want to, but that could be the answer.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right.
Bug me only because he's put in all his life.
Yeah, I understand. It sounds like you should be entitled to part of that. You were married for more than 10 years?
Oh, yes. 53
years. Well, congratulations on that. I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Mark in Clearwater, Florida. Hey, Mark.
Hey, good morning. I had a question similar to what the guy before had. I have two children, adult children. My wife and I have been married a long time. I have a 401k through my work plus a savings account through Fidelity and another savings account in a bank. My father passed away about 4 years ago, and he had an established trust set up in his name for the beneficiaries. When he passed away, it seemed like the trust was the best way to disperse his assets. I'm just wondering, since I have designated primary and secondary beneficiaries in my 401k and my other savings accounts, is there anything I need to do to make sure that the house is split evenly with my children after my wife and I are both gone?
Okay, well, if you and your wife both passed away, the house would be in a deceased person's name. So a better way to be able to do that would be able to have a trust and do a quit claim. The attorney that did the trust would do, and I do this almost every day, I think, for people, is to create the trust and transfer their home with a quit claim deed from them to themselves as trustees of their own trust. And then upon the death of both of you, the successor trustee that you name in the trust can transfer the property out of the trust to the beneficiaries, or can sell the house within the trust and divide the money up.
Okay, now if the house is sold, what is the tax implications on the beneficiaries when it is sold? I mean, what do they owe?
The house gets a stepped up cost basis upon death. And so there are no capital gains tax on the sale of the house, and the money can be divided equally among the beneficiaries, pretty much tax-free. There's no income tax on the transaction. The only capital gains tax would be if the person waited some time after the person died and the value of the house was different from the date of death as to the date of sale. There might be some capital gains difference on that.
Right.
But, you know, if you paid $60,000 for the house and it's worth $200,000 when you die, you can distribute the $200,000 with no taxes. If the date of death, the value of the house is $200,000 and you wait some time and the value goes up to $250,000, there'd be a capital gains tax on the $50,000. So really, it just depends. It's a timing question, but really there's not too much tax.
So if I have the defined beneficiaries already designated in all my savings stuff, I don't need to put that in a trust because it's already defined. It's already going to happen that way. Only thing I really need to have in a trust and have it documented is my home.
Yeah, but if you have other financial accounts, it's really, I think, better to have those in a trust because they can be used for your benefit if you become incapacitated before death.
Okay.
And let me just say this for maybe not you, but other people that are listening. Sometimes it's not the best to give an outright distribution to a child. The child could spend it way too fast because, you know, they have horrible money management habits. They could have addictions. They could be special needs getting government benefits. And sometimes it's much better to stretch out a distribution to children. So that's just something to think about. But if you have beneficiaries on very good, responsible children on retirement accounts, that's fine. If not, you might want to control it a little bit, you know, for their benefit.
Okay. Well, my kids are both very mature. I mean, they own their own homes and everything. I'm just trying to set it up. Something would happen to my wife and I that it wouldn't, you know, would avoid probate, and it would happen as smoothly as it did with my father's estate.
Yeah, when I'm giving, I give a lot of community talks, and when sometimes one of the questions I ask, well, how many people here in the audience have perfect children? And you, almost nobody ever raises their hand. Once in a while, I have a sweet mom that wants to, her child might be sitting next to her or something, and she might raise her hand. But then usually I say anybody who thinks they have perfect children is in denial. And some of you, at least some of you, have reasons not to give a child an outright distribution. And you can easily do that in estate planning.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the information, and thank you very much.
All right, Mark, thanks for calling. And by the way, since I mentioned speaking engagements, I get to speak at a lot of churches, retirement groups, coffee club meetings, and community centers. And if you have a need for a speaker, there is no charge for that. And be glad to talk to you about that. Let me give you my toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529, 1-800-226-3529. Also, if you'd like a free estate planning poster sheet, we'd love to mail that to you. It has the three options in estate planning, has the pluses and minuses of the three options and things to look out for. It has a little cost of probate chart, has a little trust diagram chart on one side. The other side has our 20 office locations, phone numbers, local phone numbers, and addresses. It has all of the attorneys, has our website, has radio show information. If you'd like that, I'd love to mail it to you. I need it. You to do one of three things to be able to receive this. You can call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. If you want to email me for it, I need your name and address. You can email it to Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. That's Joe. Email me your name and address, Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. If you want to text me for it, hey, here's my cell number, 727-667-3967, 727-667-3967. If you happen to be watching on Facebook and you need information, I'm a Florida attorney. Practicing law in Florida only, licensed in Florida. We do have 20 office locations around Florida. I'd be glad to mail you the estate planning sheet if you live in another state. But however, you need to know that I'm a Florida attorney, licensed only in Florida. All right, let's go to Priscilla in Jacksonville.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, Priscilla.
I have two questions. I have a home that I want to leave to my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And the first question would be, would it be better to leave it in a revocable trust? Because I'm looking at the, you know, the details of that, and mm-hmm. they say that the tax, property tax is uncapped. Or should I do the...
Yeah, the trust doesn't change the cap.
Right.
So a trust, okay. There's nothing negative the way we do the trust. There's language in there to save the cap, save the homestead. You still get the stepped up in cost basis. So the way we draft the trust, none of those things are affected at all.
Okay. And when you do leave a property to a child and the child is married, how does that work? Is it automatically become theirs?
No,
or?
Hopefully we tell, if you want to protect it, tell the child to keep it separate, never commingle it, never own it joint. Okay. An inherited asset is not a spousal asset with marital rights attached to it if it's kept separate.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, get that poster sheet. There's a lot of information on there.
I will. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. Okay. So now I have time to give that information one more time. If you want that free estate planning poster sheet, you can call our toll-free number, 1-800-226-3529, extension 200. You can go there this weekend and leave a message, or you can call first of the week and give your name and address. We'll be glad to mail it to you, 1-800-226-3529. We do have offices in Jacksonville, by the way. And also, you can text Ford at 727-667-3967. And also, you can email me your name and address at Joe, J-O-E, at A-T-T-Y.